Blog Talk Radio.
All those heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. Life is older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a green country road, taking hold to the plain. I belong to West Virginia, happy mama, taking hold, country road. All my memories gather round her, modest lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty things, shine, teardrop in my eyes. Let your own, take me home to the place.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. And we're ready to start another.
Yes, it's season 5, episode 47, Open Mic Talk. And any topic is up for discussion in a format tonight. I hope you can join us as we speak about the war in Ukraine, Israel, and the growing uncertainty with a lack of ability by Republicans to elect a speaker for nearly a month of the infighting. That and lots more as we delve into nationwide news and top events happening globally. Thank you for sharing across all social media and interacting with us through Facebook. We will be starting a series that breaks down the far-right's Project 2025, why it's dangerous, and how together we can stop tyranny from taking a stranglehold and killing American democracy once and for all. Visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so the first thing on the agenda, Lori, is the United States Defense Secretary Austin says that the United States is concerned about potential escalation in the Middle East. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Sunday that the United States is concerned about potential escalation in the Middle East a day after announcing the deployment of additional military assets to the region. And I quote, we're concerned about potential escalation. In fact, what we're seeing is a prospect of a significant escalation of attacks on our troops and our people throughout the region. And because of that, we're going to do what is necessary to make sure that our troops are in the right, in a good position, and they're protected, and that we have the ability to respond. He spoke with ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos. On Saturday night, Secretary of Defense Austin announced that the deployment of additional missile defense systems in the Middle East and additional U.S. troops are unprepared to deploy orders. Those deployments add to the series of other U.S. military movements since Hamas attacked Israel 2 weeks ago, including a U.S. Marine Rapid Response Force consisting of 2,000 Marines and sailors and 2 carrier groups ordered to the Eastern Mediterranean to deter Iran and its allies Syria and Hezbollah from opening new fronts against Israel. So the United States officials have previously stressed that there are no plans to put American boots on the ground to fight in a war between Israel and Hamas, which Israel officials have warned could be prolonged and difficult. So Defense Secretary Austin said that the deployment of the Terminal High Altitude Air Defense, that's THAAD, battery, as well as additional Patriot battalions to locations throughout the region, was to protect U.S. troops in the area. Both the THAAD and Patriot systems are air defense systems designed to shoot down short, medium, and intermediate ballistic missiles. Last week, a U.S. Naval warship operating in the Middle East intercepted multiple projectiles near the coast of Yemen fired by Iranian-backed Houthi militants who are engaged in an ongoing conflict in the country. That incident was one of the series in recent days, with U.S. bases being targeted by drones in Syria and Iraq, and as American embassies face protests throughout the region. So following detailed discussions with President Biden on recent escalations by Iran and its proxy forces across the Middle East region today, I direct a series of additional steps to further strengthen the Department of Defense posture in the region. These steps will bolster regional deterrence efforts, increase force protection for U.S. forces in the region, and assist in the defense of Israel, Austin said in a statement. So the defense secretary, ahead of Israel's imminent ground incursion in Gaza, told ABC he has encouraged Israeli officials, and specifically Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, to conduct their operations in accordance with the laws of war. In response to a question on whether Israel is doing enough to protect our insurance and civilians are not being killed, Austin said, quote, "We encourage them to every opportunity to make sure that, you know, we're accounting for those civilians that are in a battle space, that we're providing corridors for them to leave the battle space if necessary, and that they're allowing humanitarian assistance to get into that space as well." Austin did say he thinks a two-state solution is still very, very supportable. And I've been saying that for years. A two-state solution is the only viable option for peace. But, of course, you know, the Israeli hardliners, the Zionist Israelis, who to me mm-hmm. are racist and bigoted, and hardliners like the Hamas and the Hezbollahs of this world, those two can never compromise. And that's where there's eternal mm-hmm. conflict. You know, so
yep.
I don't know what the United States can do or the Western allies that's in NATO, because for the get-go, it was Britain who caused this divide mentality between Palestinians and Israelis. And, you know, hopefully there'll be a solution some way, somehow. But I can't see that in the near future. What's your take on it?
I feel the same way. I don't see how this, it's not like you can take this, the Hamas group, because they're terrorists. They won't sit across mm-hmm. the table and talk, you know. It just won't happen. There's no compromising with them. There's no, I don't know exactly what they want. It seems like they just want to kill and maim. That's basically all they're trained to do. You can't even mm-hmm. really call them human. So I don't know what the solution is going to be, if there mm-hmm. is a solution. It doesn't seem like there can be one unless they can get rid of them somehow. And I am sure if they do even defeat the Hamas that's there in Gaza, there's probably another 100,000 someplace else ready to take their place. That's my thought,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I just don't know how you – it's like a cancer that keeps spreading. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
And remember before 1948 that, you know, it was Palestinian land. And it's arguable that, you know, from biblical days, Israel owned the land. So, you know, it depends mm-hmm. on who you ask. Does the land belong to mm-hmm. Israel or does it belong to Palestine? You know, so,
mm-hmm.
You know, centuries of conflict going back to Bible days. You know,
mm-hmm.
King David captured that land and named the capital Jerusalem. And, of course, Palestinians were there. You know, so the spoils of war goes to the victim. And it's like, it's not black and white. It's shades of gray, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not all Palestinians are terrorists who agree with Hamas, and not all Israelis,
no.
you know, are Zionists, you know, so is
no.
that delicate balance you have to have, you know, when you're dealing with these two sides and everything, and, you know, hopefully good sense can prevail, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm. We can
mm-hmm.
hope.
Mm-hmm.
We can
yes,
hope,
yes.
you know. That's the only thing we can. I don't know how they would even listen to. It doesn't seem like they listen to logic or, you know, any sort of peace treat. And the thing is what do they really want? I mean, besides, you know, taking over Israel, what do they, I mean, that, is that all that's left for them to do once they, if they take over Israel, is that their goal?
No, it's what's going to destroy Israel. That's their goal, Hamas. Oh, the Hamas goal, just to totally destroy Israel. And that's not going to happen. It will never happen. You know,
no.
So a two-state solution is still viable, as Austin says.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, really, you know, they're being unrealistic, and they're killing people, and they have hostages, and it's just sad, and they're brutal. They're, you know, they kill babies and children. They don't care. They don't mm-hmm. have any passion for life. So I can't even call them human beings. They're not human beings because they don't have the compassion soul, you know, or heart, you know. Right up that article, David, there is another one. It's Hamas released two more Israeli hostages from Gaza today. Did you? Hamas released two more hostages on Monday, identified by Israeli as Nurit Cooper and Yocheved Lifshitz. Their names, I'm sorry, I butchered them. Just days after releasing two American women on Friday, Cooper and Lifshitz were abducted from their homes in kibbutz near Oz, a small Israeli community near the Gaza border that came under attack October 7th. After being handed over to the IDF forces, they are making their way at this time to a medical center in Israel that's specially organized to prepare to receive them. Their family members will be waiting for them there. A spokesman for Israel's prime minister's office on the behalf of the special envoy for abducted and missing persons said. Cooper, 79, was taken with her husband, 85-year-old Amiram Cooper. Israeli officials said Lifshitz, 85, was also abducted along with her husband, 83-year-old Oded Lifshitz. The women's husbands were not released. Oh, I did not know that. Yosef Oded Lifshitz were peace activists and regularly transported patients from Gaza to hospitals across Israel for medical treatments, according to the Times of Israel. According to a message posted to Hamas-affiliated Telegram channel, the two hostages released Monday were let go for humanitarian reasons after a mediation by Qatar and Egypt. The International Committee of the Red Cross also facilitated the release. The agency said on social media, our role as a neutral, as being neutral makes this work possible, and we are ready to facilitate any future releases. The IRC tweeted, we hope that they will soon be back with their loved ones. Israel thanked Egypt and the Red Cross. And they said there should be another 200 and some in there, 220, 222 in there. They on two on Friday and then two today, so that's four, and there's still over 200 in there. So they just grab the two, grab these two, and say you can go? I mean, how do they determine, you know? And they left their husbands there. Why didn't they let their husbands go home with them? I mean, that makes no sense.
Because, you know, they're men, and even though they're all men and everything, even if there are young men, they wouldn't let the men out. The women, yes, you know, and that's how terrorists operate, really. you know, and the Trenton negotiate with Israel to say, hey, stop the bombing and we'll start releasing people. If we continue the bombing, then we'll just start chopping heads and torturing people and murdering them on camera to show you, you know. And there's a reason why Israel cut off all internet when this war will escalate into a ground force moving in, you know, because Israel, I suspect, is pissed off, I've a right to be. But, you know, of the genocide that is about to happen against, you know, the Palestinian people who probably have nothing to do it for the most part. They just want to live their lives and be happy. Yep. But because of Hamas and all these other terrorist groups funded by Iran, the good will have to suffer with the bad. You know, I'm not saying Israel, you know, shouldn't take revenge, but, you know, war is war, and there are casualties of war, and hopefully good sense will prevail, and innocent people who have nothing to do with it will get hurt, you know, but, you know, being factual and being logical, you know, innocent people were hurt and killed. A lot of innocent people have been hurt and killed on both sides, you know, so let's just hope Israel, you know, don't commit genocide, because how can you be in a country where, you know, you prevent this person from moving from point A to point B unless they have papers. And to get those papers, they have to go through a whole rigmarole. And most times they don't get it. Why? Because Israelis or Zionists, you know, are so hateful against all Palestinians, you know, they just group everybody together as terrorists. And that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, what the Nazis did to them in Europe, especially in Germany, is what the Zionist Jews are doing to Palestinians. And that's not right. That's a form of apartheid.
Yes, it is. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation that, I mean, begin to try to understand it, because there is so much, it is, you know, so many ins and outs. It's so, there's just so much history. And I'm just hoping that, you know, they can come to some agreement. Like I said before, I highly doubt it. I do. I highly doubt it. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
And hopefully this is not a trigger for World War III, because we'll have problems between China and Taiwan, and we'll have troubles in Ukraine versus Russia, and in Darfur there's problems. You know, all of around the world, in certain nations in Africa, you have Muslims fighting Christians, you know, and it's just a hot mess globally. And when this idiot Donald Trump saying, oh, if he were president, no war would be happening. I mean, he's such a moron. Why don't you black Muslim and put him in prison where he belongs? That's where he belongs, because he's just stirring up shit, gaslighting his supporters who don't have any common sense to begin with, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, starting little fires here in the United States, and anti-Semitism has risen in the United States since Joe Biden has become president because of one man, Donald Trump. You know, and the judge, you know, like, sort of loosened the muzzle on him. And that shouldn't happen. They should make an example out of him and put him in prison where he belongs until, you know, he goes through all four trials. Because what he's doing is touring the country, giving his Nazi-type rallies and talking crap and just, like, instigating violence. And what happened in January 6th will never happen again. Because if it does happen, then Joe Biden will put out the National Guard, and they were severely dealt with, because what they did was not patriotism. What they did was treasonous. And back in the day, in the 1950s and 40s, when treason happened, it's a death penalty. You know, so they change all that now. And hopefully people have learned from their mistakes and it won't happen again. But I think that was a dry run, because, of course, if and when Republicans lose, if it's Trump or DeSantis or Nikki Haley or whomever, if and when they lose, they still claim, oh, you know, the election was stolen. So, you know, the Republican Party is a fringe party. And they're not the party of Lincoln or Eisenhower or even Reagan anymore. And that's sad.
No. They're basically there to just cause, to disrupt, you know, the work of the people. and
mm-hmm.
disarray, and you know, I don't know what their ultimate goal is, because it really makes no sense what they're doing, because I think that people are now paying attention to what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
today, we can go into that in a little bit, but I think people, mm-hmm. more people are to what they are doing, and they're seeing how incompetent they are, and they can't even get along with each other because of a small group of people. Why don't they take mm-hmm. that small group of people and tell them, this is how it's going to be, like it or not? But they don't do that. They have no backbone.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. How many days has it been? 30 days? And why are they getting paid? That's my other bone of contention. They're getting
mm-hmm.
paid. They still have health insurance. They still, you know, have their perks and everything else that they have, but they haven't worked
mm-hmm.
in a month or so. And, you
yeah.
know, President Biden is, you know, trying, he wants to pass an aid bill. He can't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
His hands are tied. And let's
yeah.
talk about that next.
Yes, because Joe Biden is seeking a $105 billion security aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and the U.S. southern border and more. The request comes with Congress's business at a standstill as House Republicans battle each other over who should be the next House Speaker. And
mm-hmm.
this $105 billion in support for security needs to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the U.S. southern border, the biggest request in the package is more than $61 billion for Ukraine. Since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, the United States has unleashed an arsenal worth $44 billion in security assistance, according to figures provided by the State Department. Biden also calling for additional $14.3 billion for Israel, another $2 billion for Taiwan, as the Indo-Pacific security is at risk because China wants to incorporate Taiwan into the red communist China,
mm-hmm.
and a little
mm-hmm.
over $9 billion of humanitarian aid assistance. Israel is at war with Hamas, as we all know, after the military group launched a shocking and brutal terrorist attack on October 7th. Meanwhile, there are raising tensions around Taiwan, which China claims as its own, and China has no claim to Taiwan. You know, Taiwan is an independent nation, and the White House said that the supplemental funding request investing approximately $50 billion in the U.S. defense industry. So, and I quote, the American economy, the funding will expand production lines, strengthen the American economy, keep us safe, and create new American jobs. That's according to the Director of Office of Management Budget, which is nonpartisan, Shalanda Young. She said it Friday in a call to reporters. So the request comes as business encourages a standstill as host GOP remains divided over who should be speaker. Hard right congressman from Ohio, Jim Jordan, is pushing for a third vote after failing twice to secure the gavel. And now I don't know if he has fallen out and said, hey, I'm dropping out of the race.
Yes.
All I know is that eight Republicans, is it eight or ten, they're running
for
the speaker's job, and eight of them are diehard Trump supporters. So it's like a real shit show there in Capitol Hill. They don't have to act together and everything. And it's sad, really, because American people suffer because of it. November 17th coming up, that's a deadline for, you know, getting things together, or there'll be a government shutdown. If we don't have a House Speaker, then nothing can be done. So some Republicans
mm-hmm.
want that. The hardliners like Matt Gaetz and seven other people voted to vacate the chair or the Speaker's gavel. And no, there was no
mm-hmm.
backup plan. So now we'll have this shit show, this circus going on. And American people deserve better than this. So we're going to open the lines now for people to call in. The number is 515-605-9802. We just have one person on the line. I think this is Elaine
mm-hmm.
from Michigan. We'll put her to you shortly. And remember to visit
mm-hmm.
our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to have merchandise on sale soon. And we're also going to have guest bloggers, and we're going to put more blog articles on, as well as recipes that you could try at home. So let's take
mm-hmm.
Elaine. Elaine from Michigan. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Elaine.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was so glad to see that they released two more hostages.
Yeah.
Am I understanding that Gaza is a separate country? I'm trying to...
No, the Gaza Strip is where 7 million plus people who are Palestinians live. It's an enclave. And so, you know, they're limited in their movement because around Gaza is the state of Israel, and you have the Golan Heights, and you have Jerusalem and what have you, and you need special papers to travel from Gaza to any of those points, and they have checkpoints where if you don't have those papers, they can throw you in jail. You know, because Zionist Jews don't trust Palestinians because the court all Palestinians as terrorists, which is not fair, because how can somebody work and make a living and provide for the family, you know, when you have such restrictions? It reminds me of South Africa, apartheid South Africa, where, you know, you need certain documents to travel from state to state within South Africa. The same thing is happening, you know, with Gazans and the Gaza Strip and Palestinians where they want to go out and, you know, they can't because Israel have such a stranglehold on them and not allowing them to move freely. So,
do they have a wall, a wall of some sort built around that strip of land? I mean, that's what that's what it looked like to me when I was, you know, on these different TV shots. It looked like they had, like, walls and checkpoints.
I know half
you know,
of
like
those 7
you go over
million
to Canada, it, you know, the checkpoints where you have to go through and talk to a person either from, well, it'd be like going over the bridge. You have to pay money to go over the bridge. Well, it looked like to me they had these houses built, and you had to go there and check, and they're checkpoints. And that's what I'm viewing via TV, and I'm trying to put the pieces together. So that's why I ask these questions.
Yeah.
Okay, and the second point, as far as the Speaker of the House, I am, after reading 2025, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. This is part of their plan.
Yes,
part of their
is.
Plan to shut down the government.
We're going to do a series on 2025. It's so complicated, and we have to basically start from the top and explain what 2025 is, and it's the Republican plan to basically demolish the government is what it is. And it's And it's a 900 and some odd page, and it's done pages, and it's done by the Heritage Foundation and other right-wing foundations, such like the Heritage Foundation, and they have been working 18 months, from what I've read, to put together this plan to basically dismantle our government totally and give the president, whomever that is, if it's Trump or Swamy or whoever it is, Chris Christie, doesn't matter. Whatever
they said
Republican,
as long as it's one of theirs.
Yes. They have a plan to dismantle the government, dismantle all the agencies, the FDA, the water, everything. So, but we're going to do in a series because it's a lot to digest.
I think we can start with the so-called academies, chartered schools. That has been a plan. They have been working on this plan since the 80s to make public schools corporate schools, corporation schools. That's exactly what chartered schools are. They're schools for profit. They're corporation schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can call them chartered academies, whatever. And shame on the colleges for sponsoring this crap.
Yeah,
the colleges in the area are supposed to be the watchdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Carding.
Who's in charge of that? Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos is trying to push this private school thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. The goal is, one of the goals is to get rid of the Department of Education, to get rid of 6,000 federal workers, and then replace them with their employees, their trained employees. They're going to have like a training program, and they will replace them with their employees. And then they're going to make they call them Schedule F, which means they have no, they can just be fired on the spot. You know, that's it.
They've already done that. A chartered school, each teacher, each principal are at-will employees. And whether the administration, which is a corporate-owned entity, decides that the principal and the teachers are not jumping through their hoops, they're gone. That part of it's already been instituted.
Right, Elaine, but this
Lori, you're breaking up again, and I've got a different phone.
I'm breaking up right now?
Yeah, you were breaking up. I got part of your sentence.
Okay. Am I breaking up now?
Now you seem to be okay.
Okay. The federal employees, these are not, that's a whole different, the teachers thing, the charter school is something totally different. These are federal employees. We, you know, we have federal employees. So they plan to get rid of the 50,000 federal employees just to start and replace them with their people that they will train.
No,
who believe in
Trump is they've already started. They've already started.
And the people have to know that.
They have already started to dismantle.
They're trying to, yes. Absolutely trying to, yes. But we still have our government and our, like, we still have the Department of Justice. We still have, FDA.
Yeah.
We still have all of that, all right? But what they're what they will do is the day after this president takes over, this plan goes into effect. And good luck to the American people. So that's why we've decided we're going to make this into a series. We were going to start tonight, but we kind of looked at it and thought, no, we can't do this in 2 hours. It's just not possible. We need to prepare for it because it's a lot of work. So we're going to do it. What do you think, David? Three sessions? Like maybe three different shows?
Three parts.
One, two, three.
Yeah, three parts. At least three parts.
We're
going
to try to.
Yeah, because what I want to do in schools as well is, don't give tenure to teachers, remove them, put in their people who are like Dominionist Christians, and any books that, write about transgenderism and LGBTQ things. Any teacher who's teaching that, they'd want to prosecute them and register them as sex offenders. That's one of the examples of what, Project 2024 is about. The hate against gay people and transgender people is high on their agenda, and I've been going at it for years now. Another thing is that they want to fire, professional civil servants who's neither Democrat nor Republican, and put in people who believe in Trumpism. Shouldn't be, because, if you're a civil servant, you should be very neutral in dealing with the government, the business of government, and not beholden to one person. So they're trying to, steer America in an autocratic direction where the executive or the government, the president, has all this power, and wouldn't need Congress to declare war. Wouldn't need a Supreme Court to decide certain things, and he would have, unchecked power, basically.
Yes, the president
would.
What has he said in his last few rallies? What has the Orange Monster said in his last few rallies?
Yep. If you pay attention to what he's saying, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, those are his talking points.
Yes. He would have unchecked authority. He would be, let's just say, a dictator. Let's just put it simple. He'd be a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He'd have all the power. And also, there would be no abortions allowed, and there would be no, like the day after pill, what do they call that? The day after pill, that's gone.
Are you for 86? Yes.
Yes. It's just going into a world of
Think Handmaiden's Tale, but on steroids. Think Handmaiden's Tale, but on steroids, basically.
Yes.
Where the woman should
know
her place, barefoot and pregnant, uneducated, have a whole bunch of children, and a man is in charge of the house, and a man who goes and work and build up a military.
Yep.
You know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, right. Mm. All the good stuff. You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No patriarchal society.
Was I right about the birth control pills, David? Do you remember reading about that?
Yeah,
I read
something
about the birth control. Yeah, I read something about birth control pills. So I'm saying it is very detailed, and they go through every part of life, you know. So who knows what would have happened to the health care? Who knows what would happen to Social Security? Who knows what would happen to Medicare? Who knows what would happen to Medicaid? All those.
It'd be gone.
Yeah, they're
gone.
Totally.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. So that's why I Rachel Maddow did a segment on this, and it is on YouTube. She explained it very well, and it's horrific. If you listen to it, I had heart palpitations when I was listening to it. I really did. So this is why we have to win. Not only do we have to win in 2024, we have to beat the shit out of them. We have to win the House, the Senate, the presidency. We have to win it all, and not in slim majorities. We need to win like they got the crap beat out of them, and they're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to do, or else you can kiss America's freedom, what we have left of it, goodbye.
We also have to concentrate, a segment of us have to concentrate on our local elections. They might be nonpartisan, but that is the biggest lie of the century, because they aren't. They aren't.
No, they're not.
And we have
no,
to concentrate
not.
On those also, have a segment of people concentrate on those to point out who is the good guy and who is the bad guy or the bad person.
Now there was a woman. There was a woman that is trying to be a write-in. This was in Michigan for mayor. Okay, she says she's a Democrat, and I actually had a little conversation with her via Messenger, and she said she's a Democrat. But then I had a couple of Facebook friends that are in Sterling Heights that are. In council in Sterling Heights, and they said, no, she is not a Democrat. She is a Trump Republican, and they've seen her at different places, and they've actually had pictures of her with the hat on and the whole nine yards. And I, she said that she's God-fearing and all this other crap. She is not a Democrat. She's a Republican. There is no doubt, and she is trying to explain. She's trying to tell people that she's not. She's a liar. People
The thread that I was in, she was claiming that, she have Republican friends. And the woman who challenged Governor Whitmer last time, I can't remember her name, she was at her rally wearing her hat and her pin. So how can you be a Democrat and support such evil and such ridiculousness? What's the name of the person you ran against, Whitmer?
Oh, my gosh. I can't think of
her name.
I don't
remember.
Right now.
All I know, remember is she had dark hair.
She had dark
hair. She had a squeaky voice.
When Greg, when Governor Whitmer and her had their, what am I thinking of? They had their, when they were, they were asked questions,
debate.
Both of them, back and forth. Debate. That's
debate.
The word I was thinking of. They had
to
their debate. And she was dressed. She was dressed, and her hair was styled just like Gretchen's. and mm-hmm. her hair was styled like Gretchen's. She was kind of dressed like her in the, you know, the fashion, the way that Gretchen, you know, Gretchen Whitmer dresses. It was mm-hmm. unbelievable. But this woman is a loon tune, and her name will come to me. I tried to forget it, so maybe that's why.
Tudor Dixon,
that was her name. Yes, Tudor
yes,
Dixon.
Yes, yes.
And so she is friends. So she, yes, go ahead, David.
She was born May 5th, 1977. She's an American businesswoman, mm-hmm. conservative political commentator, a member of the Republican Party.
Yep.
Dixon was the party's nominee for governor in Michigan in the 2022 elections, but lost badly against Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer by a margin of 10.6 percentage points. This woman is mm-hmm. a kook, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Her political positions on abortion, for example, she supports a ban on all abortion except solely when necessary to save the life of the pregnant woman and would oppose any mm-hmm. exceptions for rape or incest. So that's how extreme
yep.
Tudor Dixon is. And for a so-called Democrat to say, oh, yeah, she's my
mm-hmm.
friend and, yeah, I support her,
mm-hmm.
that's no Democrat. Come on, no. You know, we're in a toxic political environment.
Exactly. And the other thing is there was a picture of her. Do you remember Robert Kennedy Jr. was in Michigan a few
mm-hmm.
weeks back, and she
mm-hmm.
was in a picture with him as well. So really, come on. I mean, pictures don't lie. And
mm-hmm.
it was funny because when I told her, when I had the discussion in that thread with her, I said
mm-hmm.
to her, I said, well, you have the hat on, you're at the rally. And she said, well, did you see the color of the hat? And I, you know, and she goes, it didn't match my outfit. They just handed it to me and I put it on. She said, and if you know me, she says, I always match my clothes from my head to my toes. I'm like, oh, God, lady.
What was she smoking?
We're
not going to call her name.
So anyway,
listen, we're not going to call this woman's name because we're not going to give her free publicity because she's a danger.
No.
She should not be elected. She's not a Democrat. She's just a wolf in sheep clothing. And God forbid if she and others in Michigan and all other states get elected to, like,
mm-hmm.
not federal positions but local and statewide positions,
mm-hmm.
then we can kiss
mm-hmm.
democracy goodbye. You know, it's dangerous.
Exactly.
She's a dangerous woman.
Yes, yeah, she is. And it is she wants to be a write-in for the mayor, to be mayor in Warren. That's what she wants to do, be a write-in.
Warren. Okay. I know
mm-hmm.
who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Fultz, who was a civics government teacher in Sterling Heights High School,
mm-hmm.
The people
mm-hmm.
had a vote whether the mayor of Warren should have term limits. And the people
mm-hmm.
overwhelmingly voted for term limits. And
mm-hmm.
and as soon as that vote came in, this former government teacher, Fultz,
mm-hmm.
said the people have spoken. But what did he try to do? Three times he's taken it to court. He said, well, they would start counting how many times you could run from the time the election was done. And the court,
mm-hmm.
each court said, that's not how it works.
Yep. Yeah, he was the mayor for a long time. He was the mayor for a long time there. Yeah.
I think it's
three terms already. He's already served three terms.
At least he's been there a long time. Yeah.
So that's 12 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Warren is a big city, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, that's how these people, you know, operate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
thank goodness that there are others that recognized her and basically said, that's not who you are. So I was
she's a succubus of Satan, and she'll never be elected
mm-hmm.
to office. She's a liar.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
So anybody who supports Tula Dixon
mm-hmm.
and ilk like her don't deserve to be in political
mm-hmm.
office because what they want to do is tear down the government, get rid of the
mm-hmm.
Department of Education. When you have a stupid populace, then you don't have educated people who can do critical thinking. And we need critical
mm-hmm.
thinking now more than ever because Osama Lash administration, who had a Secretary of Education, who had no business being Secretary of Education. She didn't have any kids going to public schools. She was just out of her depth. You know?
Yes.
We cannot have that again.
No, we can't.
So do you think the Republicans will get their act together and elect a Speaker of the House? Or it's going to be same old word of infighting and tearing each other apart, even in public now? Or do you think the former Speaker will go back to the position?
You're talking about McCarthy?
Yes.
He might as well.
Yeah, what's the difference now? But let's go through the names of the ones that are there's nine. Let me see. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Because they keep saying first there were
10,
and then there's nine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to this article, it was just updated. There's eight, and out of the eight, six are election deniers, and two are not. So that's not good. So Tom Emmer and Austin Scott are the only two that are not election deniers. So let's – oh, no, actually it says nine Republican candidates. All right.
So the eight candidates currently running.
Yes.
The eight candidates currently running are Tom Emmer from Minnesota, Mike Johnson from Louisiana, Trumpa, Jack Bergman, District 1 in Michigan, a Trumper, Baron Donalds, District 7, Florida, Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Gary Palmer of Alabama, Pete Sessions of Texas, they're all Trumpers, and the non-Trumpers are Austin Scott of Georgia and Tom Emmers of Minnesota. So Dan Muser of Pennsylvania is also in the race, but announced that his candidacy, at his candidacy forum, that he was withdrawing. So Democrats are backing minority leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, and fight was triggered October 3rd when a group of rebel Republicans, eight of them led by an effort to remove then-Speaker Kevin McCarthy from California. In the intervening 20 days, Congressman Patrick McHenry from North Carolina 8th District has served as interim Speaker but has limited powers. And when they spoke about giving them more powers for the speakership, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and others said that, you know, that's a no-go. You know, so again, you know, they can't govern. You know, they want power for themselves, but when they do get this power, you see what, you know, how irresponsible they are with this power. And the House Republicans tonight held a closed-door candidates forum where candidates made their pitches to be the next speaker on a conference. It's scheduled to vote, is it tomorrow morning on Tuesday? And to secure a nomination, the nominee must secure 217 votes in the House floor to be elected. Of course, Democrats not only vote for any Republican, so we'll see how that plays out because they're so divided in terms of, oh, this one is a neocon, this one is a fiscal conservative, this one is a social conservative, you know, different branches in the in the conservative movement, and it can't unite and galvanize behind one person. And, you know, that's how disorganized they are. And America will suffer for it because of them. So two Republican nominees have already quit. Steve Scalise of Louisiana was nominated first, but he withdrew after it became clear he couldn't get enough votes for the House floor. Then Jim Jordan, that failure in life, was nominated, but he couldn't get enough support in three House floor votes. So he dropped out after fellow Republicans voted to revoke his nomination Friday. And in all each of those three votes, he got less and less support by the Republicans. So, again, these people cannot govern. They want power, they're hungry for power. But when they do get power, they don't know what to do with it. They fight with each other. You know, and, you know, America deserves better than that.
Absolutely.
Well, I, you know, this is scaring the hell out of me. I really think this is all pre-orchestrated to make sure that the government doesn't function.
Well,
this is scaring the hell out of me.
It's starting to be.
And somehow we have got to get a speaker.
Of course we do. Whether it's, you know, the team Jeffries would be perfect, but they're never gonna vote for a Republican. And I don't want. Do you want an election denier in there? Of course, No better than
no,
the first.
No, we don't.
Anyway.
But, Lori, you're breaking up again. I don't know what's going on.
Oh. I mean, we don't want it. We do not want an election denier as a Speaker of the House.
No.
We don't want that. And there's only two that say they're not election deniers. So what, you know, what is going to happen with this? You know, how
I don't know.
How are we going? How is President Biden going to get the aid that he needs for two wars that are going on so that we can help these countries? How is he going to do that? I mean,
I don't know, but I'm thinking that Mitch McConnell, you know, and that he somehow can talk to somebody because he was on the air again. They have, I don't know if it was another interview or they're replaying it. He is definitely afraid that this the House not operating the way it should, and he wants this money released.
Yes,
he
does.
Is talking. You know, he is talking about the country has got to work like it's supposed to.
Yeah,
and he keeps talking about the war in Ukraine. He said we can't let this war in Ukraine go. Or we're going to have fighting on the United States soil.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Absolutely.
Why doesn't Mitch McConnell put Thomas Tuberville in check? Thomas Tuberville is vetoing 300 appointees. And we'll have these wars going on. We need personnel in there. So if when push comes to shove and America is needed to protect Americans abroad, and possibly get into these wars, hopefully not, but, you know, the reality is war is war, and we have to protect our best interests, our best economic interests. And we can't allow Putin, you know, to have such a party to say, oh, hey, you know, Republicans doing my bidding, so, you know, let's destroy America from within. And, you know, we kind of step in as world leaders, so to speak, them and China, and, you know, get broader influence around the world because we don't have our shit together. And they'll come in as heroes and say, yes, well, okay, you know, let's play peacemaker, you know, because at no time will Putin and Russia stop until Ukraine is theirs.
No.
You know, and Trump and other Republicans in the Senate and in the House, who knows if they're on the payroll of Vladimir Putin. We can only speculate now, you know. And that's sad because they've been trying it since after World War II when Stalin was in power. And, you know, they tried to, you know, have influence on different government officials, whether in the cabinet or the Senate or the House, you know. And they've been trying to tear us down from within. And we should not allow that to happen. You know, common sense should prevail and say, here, what? Whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, let's come together and work on compromise and reaching a middle ground because Russia is trying to destroy us from within. But, you know, Trump just care about money.
If Russia takes over Ukraine, next is Germany and Poland. And what's the third country? I'm trying to picture it.
Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania.
Yeah. And those would be real easy to take over after you take over Germany and Poland. And then across the pond is what? England.
I mean,
Germany wouldn't give up without a fight. You know, if you said France, France has a reputation of, you know, giving up, you know, waving a white flag easily. No offense to France, but they have a history of doing that, you know, so... You know, we need to, you know, come together as NATO and really push back in terms of aiding Ukraine and aiding Taiwan, you know, because what Putin and Xi Jinping from China, the president of China, is doing is trying to renew a Cold War. They're trying to be superpowers again. And these people have nuclear weapons, you know.
Yes, they do.
And without diplomacy, we'd have been in war already. And, you know, Putin is trying his best to reinstate the Soviet Union. You know, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania has rang the alarm bell saying that, hey, if Ukraine fall, we're next. and then Poland, mm-hmm. and then possibly Germany, and then England. You know, mm-hmm. it's not. We're not going to allow this to happen. We've been there before.
No.
We'll fight these fascists, and if mm-hmm. needs be, we'll fight them again, and we'll win. So the people in the United mm-hmm. States who push an anti-Semitism and are pro-Russia and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wish I could say what I really want to say, but, you know, Broad Talk Radio will cut me off. I get,
you
know?
Yeah.
Or grandfathers.
Okay. You get your point across.
The other thing
our grandfathers fought in World War II against fascism, defeating them.
Yeah.
So why these redneck hillbilly pieces of shit want to support anti-Semitism and Nazism?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't understand.
Under the guise of Christianity. I don't understand this, man. It's
I don't
madness.
Understand it either. I truly don't understand it either. Now, something happened at, since you talked about this, at Michigan State, there was a Michigan game on Saturday.
Oh, God.
And they had, did you hear about that? So they
yeah.
had the score, they had the scoreboard before the game started. They were, you know, they flashed different advertisements and different things that they flashed. And all of a sudden, there was Hitler on the screen board, on the board, for all of the
mm-hmm.
stadium to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was Hitler doing on that board? On that board, what was he doing on there? I mean, honestly, who put that picture on there? I mean, they apologized up and down. They said it was a third party that did it. They were not aware. But come on, who dropped the ball? Who dropped the ball?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to find
mm-hmm.
out who
mm-hmm.
whose idea that was to do that. And whoever it is needs to be fired. But
I think they have fired him. They have fired the person.
But it just goes to show you, Elaine, what I'm trying to say, yes, he got fired. That's perfectly, it's exactly what he deserved to get, was to be fired. But what I'm trying to say is that why? Why was that done? It's something deeper. It's deeper. Are they trying to, you know, is a message? Are they trying to, you know, bring Hitler back? That is what the scary part is. Why did they do it?
The thing is, Lori,
yeah.
the thing is, per capita, Michigan has more militia groups, you know, per capita, when you compare it to other states in the Union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
The so-called state militias are pro-Nazis, pro-white
mm-hmm.
evangelical nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in that and everything. Well, sorry,
mm-hmm.
where these idiots try to, like, kidnap Gretchen Whitmer and put her on some phony
yeah.
trial, you know, and other government officials in Michigan. So trying their best
mm-hmm.
to try to influence people that were there. Maybe it's rouse up
yeah.
some sort of, like, oh, you know, because you don't know, your next door neighbor could be a fascist, you know?
Yeah.
Who, you know, praised Hitler. You don't know. And so with a picture like that,
yeah.
it probably stir up some emotions like, oh, yeah, the militia, you know?
Either that
that's
or it scares some people to death and it tarnishes
mm-hmm.
the reputation of the college as
mm-hmm.
well. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it was just a picture, but there's a lot to it. And
there,
I was shocked.
There was a question with it, and I something about
that
there was
I did
a question.
Not see.
It was a question about the Nazis, and the crowd supposedly was supposed to yell the answer or something, and
mm-hmm.
It backfired on them. The crowd yelled all right, but not what they thought they
yeah.
were going to yell.
No,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no place for that, any of that in this
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
There's just,
I
exactly.
gather the crowd, a lot of the people in the crowd yelled, "What the F?"
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
exactly.
Yes,
exactly. Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Now, one other point I
mm-hmm.
want to make, and then we can move. Going back to the House Speaker vote, I know that there is approximately 8 that are causing all the trauma and all the discourse and all the hatred in the House. I know
mm-hmm.
that there has to be some that have common sense in there and that want to do their job, want to move forward, even though, you know, they're Republicans, but they have still their criteria, they have their, you know, their things that they want to pass, et cetera, their bills. Why aren't they speaking up? Aren't there more of them that have some common sense? Or is that, am I misunderstanding the whole thing?
Because, yeah, the fear that if they speak out against Trump and Trumpism, then they'll have a primary challenger who's very far right, who agree with Trump 100,000%. And knowing these voters in these southern states and the Bible Belt especially, and places like Utah and Montana, you know, they say, oh, okay, yeah, you know, we're for Trumpism. And, you know, nominate these far-right lunatics, and then we'll have more Boberts, more Marjorie Taylor Greens, even though they're idiots, more, Gates type of people in there, who's even more extreme. So if we think it bad now, you know, because behind closed doors, it's reported that, you know, some Republicans, establishment Republicans, are so anti-Trump, we have to go publicly to say, hey, we saw it Congresswoman Cheney did that, and a couple others, and I lost a seat, you know?
Kissinger.
Kissinger from Illinois.
You know, it's just mind-boggling, though, when you think about it, that this orange piece of shit, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, wields so much power, or I don't even know if it's power, but he has so much power. I guess that's all I can say right now.
Influence.
Yes, okay, influence. That's another good one. Power, influence. Are they afraid of him? I would like to know what it is. I mean, he's only one person, for God's sakes. How can he have all this influence on all these elections all over the country? How can that be?
Maybe he has secrets for these people.
Think about what happened the last two or three elections. All the good Republicans decided to retire.
A lot of them
did they get replaced with?
Yeah.
Crap.
I see. Yeah.
They
you're
got
right
replaced
about that.
With crap, okay?
Yeah.
Now, there are good Republicans aboard. And what are the minority of the good Republicans who decided to stay and fight? What are they doing? Retiring. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the mix might be some younger ones who do see a clear picture, but you know what? Maybe they're afraid. I'm putting it in perspective, as if I was sitting there. Maybe they're afraid. They know what they're sitting next to. They hear what the person next to them is saying. They could be afraid.
Yeah.
And yeah, afraid of physical violence because Congressman Buck from Colorado, for example, where he says under no circumstances, unless Jim Jordan says that the election was won by Joe Biden, he won't vote for Jim Jordan or anybody who's in an election denier to be Speaker of the House. And he got four death threats. You know, the man have his district office wherever in Colorado. He got evicted because the landlord is a MAGA Trump supporter. You know, so this is what, you know, people dealing with. You know, there's no level-headedness, no compassion, no critical thinking.
Right,
and in the last
Trump's
election
power,
in 2022.
Trump's power
last election,
is his following. Just like that, wasn't his name Jim Jordan, the one that had the people drink the Kool-Aid?
No, Jim Jones. Jim Jones
Jones. Jimmy Jones. Well, I mean, Jim Jordan, Jimmy James, you know, one and the same. he had a following. And
yes,
you couldn't convince those people not to follow him. And that orange monster's got a following. Mm-hmm. That orange monster doesn't know, but he's being played.
Yeah,
no,
by Russia. By Russia.
Of course he is.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the money.
He's being played by money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And thank
money
God, Letitia James.
Money and religion.
Thank God,
my father used
God.
To say, go on, I'm sorry.
Thank God Letitia James, you know, put a stop to that where he can't do business in New York ever again because the way he lied and cheated, the cancer fund for mm-hmm. children, where Eric Trump used that money to live a lavish lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, and other things that they did that was underhanded and shady. Like overvalue the price of Trump Towers,
yeah.
everything. He's just a crook, a criminal. He makes Richard
yep.
Nixon look like a Boy Scout, you know? So
you
hopefully
better...
other states follow suit, you know, and just like keep him on the heavy manners. That's what Letitia James did because
mm-hmm.
he has no business in government. He has no business in the corporate world because everybody who Trump has dealt with, that Trump is a scoundrel and a thief and a liar. You know, how can you
yeah.
have contractors and you don't pay them? You know, that's madness.
I'm going to put a light at the end of the tunnel. Trump went to Massachusetts to do I don't know if it was the court or do a rally or both. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
the crowd, he had his MAGNA people out there. They were quiet
mm-hmm.
because the crowd behind the MAGNA people were yelling, "Lock him up."
Mm-hmm.
Is that
so,
the one
you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe programs like what we're doing right now is helping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully. I hope so.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you and David are really you're doing good. You're getting the word out.
Mm-hmm. We're trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God our numbers
do.
Are up. Each and every show, the
yeah.
numbers keep going up and up. So that's a positive
good.
Sign right
yeah.
there. And even if
yeah,
people don't call in, we know that they're listening, not only in America and Canada, but all around the world. A couple shows back,
mm-hmm.
it was 19 different countries who were listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that those people are Americans wanted to know what the hell is happening in our country where Trump has such a say. Even though he's on a 91
yep.
count indictment for fraud and racketeering and, you know, whatever else, you know?
Well, there's a lot of people have dual citizenship or they're working in another country.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
them are like,
mm-hmm.
dual or, yeah, working, you know, outside the country, yes. Mm-hmm.
But I saw a little clip and the MAGNA people were very quiet. Because the people behind him were super loud, and they were yelling, "Lock
mm-hmm.
him up!"
Good.
And
mm-hmm.
he come out of this building. I don't know. He must have been a court case of some sort. It was Massachusetts. I don't know how
mm-hmm.
many court cases he's involved in. And he was, you know, doing his thumbs up thing, and then all of a sudden his face looked like it hit the ground, and you could hear.
Mm-hmm.
Lock him up. And then he rushed into the car.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course.
So there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
His handlers were trying to, like, you know, make the meter cut the live feed or whatever feed that was going on. Because they didn't want that, you know, they didn't want the public to see that.
Right.
Mm-mm. Yes, picnic.
What we have to notice, though, is that young voters are more diverse. And they have a
mm-hmm.
higher share of demographic groups that tend to be more liberal. In both
mm-hmm.
2020 and 2022, only 59% of young voters were white compared to 69% of the general electorate. And in both years, young voters were also slightly more likely to be black, Hispanic, or Asian than the general electorate. So thank goodness for the millennials and Generation Z, because
mm-hmm.
in the 18 to 29-year-old people are coming out in force, or started in 2022, when all Trump-endorsed
mm-hmm.
candidates lost. So how much power does he
mm-hmm.
really have not around the country, because if he had power around the country, then the candidates he endorsed would have won. But all of them, every last one of them lost. So there's hope, and the hope is in millennials and Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
Because if those people don't show up, then Republicans will win. If they do show up, then Democrats can win overwhelmingly. We need a big, huge victory. Not 12-seat or 14-seat majority, but like we're talking about like 25 and over, basically, in the House.
Yeah.
And not only on a federal level, but even on local level. When I run for judges, mm-hmm. when I run for school board, when I run for council person, when I run for a dog catcher, we need Democrats or left-leaning people in these seats, or... Mm-hmm. the democracy go to hell. And we're not going to allow it to happen. We're not going to make a January 6th happen again.
No. Mm-mm. Well, don't worry. I mean, I've been saying this all along, that Gen Z and the millennials have had enough garbage. You know, they had to, especially Gen Z, had to go through their school years, you know, afraid of, you know,
mm-hmm.
being shot, you know, and they had to go through, you know, to learn how to hide and put their desks up and be silent. They had to have, you know, it's appalling. And if you think about it, I mean, they will take that with them everywhere they go, you know, that
mm-hmm.
feeling of I don't feel safe in a school.
Mm-hmm.
And they... once they graduate, and then if they go off to college, they still have that feeling. So these young people mm-hmm. are not going to put up with these Republicans that do not want to change gun laws. They won't put up
mm-hmm.
with them. They'll vote them up. And that's exactly what's going
exactly.
to happen. So, you know,
and
same thing with abortion rights. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other
issues like the environment, abortion, immigration.
Yes.
Is a big deal mm-hmm. for, you know, millennials and Generation Z.
Yes,
and Pew Research Center that had the study for 27 to 42-year-olds in Obama's first campaign. And no matter how old they get, they're staying liberal because they say what a farce conservatism is, you know.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
conservatism is like sticking with the status quo, even though it's not working. Trickle-down economics, since Herbert Hoover days, has not been working. So why follow a doctrine that's been, you know, a failure since the 1930s
mm-hmm.
till now? You know, so these millennials mm-hmm. and Generation Z people and the people who voted for Obama saying, no, you know, we're liberal, we're proud, we care about our things besides, you know, what Republicans and conservatives care about. They don't care about tax cuts. I mean, if everybody got their tax cut, that would be good. But what we're
mm-hmm.
seeing since George W. Bush, tax cuts for the wealthiest people, you know, they added $10 trillion dollars to the deficit, you know, between Trump and George W. Bush, giving tax cuts
mm-hmm.
to the wealthy. Corporations don't pay any taxes. You know, the middle-income people get raised taxes
mm-hmm.
and everything. You know, so people fed up with that and say, no, Republicans don't work for us. They work for corporations and rich mm-hmm. individuals. And we vote against that because if we do vote for Republicans, we're voting against our special economic interests. And these
mm-hmm.
other people who are the base of the Republican Party today, who lack education, who lack,
mm-hmm.
you know, critical thinking, because
mm-hmm.
the lack education. They keep voting Republican en masse because, oh, you know, God sent Trump, or, oh, you know,
mm-hmm.
the homosexuals, you know, they're trying to influence people, you know, children,
mm-hmm.
and trying to, like, change boys to girls and girls to boys. All sorts of nonsense, mm-hmm. which has been debunked and diffused by science, and I don't believe in science. These people are morons. They follow the Bible. And they want to turn this into a dominionist thing.
And yet Jim Jordan was told
mm-hmm.
by his young wrestling boys that they were
mm-hmm.
being molested, and he put
mm-hmm.
a blind
mm-hmm.
eye to it. So as far
yes,
as I'm concerned, Jim Jordan is just as guilty as a pedophile. He is a pedophile.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a blind eye to what your children are telling you, you are just as guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's
pedophile enabler.
Enabler, yes.
Yes, he is. And he can run away as far as he thinks he can, but he can never run away from what he did. He can never do that. You know, it's always going mm-hmm. to be there. So, I mean, those wrestlers have also said that he does not belong being Speaker of the House. They came out and said
mm-hmm.
that. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up about the young people is that, especially Gen Z, they do not discriminate. They don't care if someone's got purple hair. They don't care if you're gay. They don't care if you're black or Asian. They don't look at any of that. They are peace-loving young people. That's basically what they are. They, you know, and they come out of high school, and some of them go off to college, and, you know, they have all different races of friends, but they come out of college educated, but with what? With debt. And that's the other thing, that they know that Joe Biden is trying to help them with that. They know that. They know that the Republicans stopped that bill, you know, for the debt for their colleges. They know it, that they vetoed it. They know that, you know, they said no to it. They're not stupid. So the thing is that they are my hope. You know, they are my hope because I know that they're going to do the right thing. And
mm-hmm.
don't forget, we have Taylor Swift. She is on the move. She definitely, you know, has influence. And this is going to work out. I just feel
mm-hmm.
that it's going to work out. That's all I can say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And I'm happy that young voters are further to the left on immigration. Because immigration for
yes.
the past 40 years has been stagnant and a center for mm-hmm. Former President Trump's first campaign for president 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a younger, more racially diverse generation of Americans seem to differ critically from all the voters
mm-hmm.
in immigration policy, especially
mm-hmm.
the Republicans. In 2020,
mm-hmm.
according to this survey, 78% of young voters supporting granting legal status to all illegal immigrants who have held jobs, paid taxes, and not been convicted of a felony, 10 points higher
mm-hmm.
than the general electorate. These are the millennials, and these are Generation C voters, whether
mm-hmm.
they're Asian, black, Jew, Hispanic, whatever. They were
right.
also less likely to support increasing border patrols, withdrawing federal funds from police departments that don't report the immigration status of detainees, reducing legal immigration, and increasing funding for border security and building a wall. You know, they made
mm-hmm.
a big difference in 2022 and gave Democrats such a resounding victory. So young voters are
yeah.
further left on immigration than in general electorates. I'm happy about
yeah.
that because America's changing, and by 2045, 2050, you know, we've become
mm-hmm.
a minority-majority country where, you know, currently 76%
mm-hmm.
of the population is white. And by 2045, 2050, you'll have, like, a mixed-race nation where Asian will marry black will marry white,
mm-hmm.
Hispanic will marry Jew, you know, things like that. So it's not going to be,
yeah.
It's not going to be, like, you know, majority white. And this is why
yep.
Republicans are fighting this fight, to keep out
yes,
non-white immigrants, you know, and putting, like, you know, barbed wire fences on the border with Mexico and
yeah.
everything, trying to kill off these people. I mean, it's disgraceful. It's inhumane. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. These people need to be stopped. And 2024
yeah.
is a big opportunity to vote them all out, especially in Texas. I love Eric's 15-state strategy with Texas, Florida, and all other states that he named and everything, where if we can
yeah.
have galvanized enough votes and build coalitions to try and unseat some Republicans where, you know, Biden won the state by 10 points, but Republicans who are congressmen or congresspeople won by 2-3 percentage
mm-hmm.
points. If we can get more of those seats, the vulnerable seats, then Democrats can pick up so many seats in 2024. And there are 32
oh, yeah.
seats running in U.S. Senate. 10 of them are Republicans running for re-election. And as Elaine said, some good Republicans are retiring because they're tired of the shit, the gridlock in Washington. So even though it's a red state, hopefully people will be fed up enough with what's going on in Washington, caused by Republicans, and say, here are what. Republicans get chances all these decades, from decade to generation to decade, decade to decade. And they're just fucking up. They don't know how to govern. So let's give a Democrat a chance. Even though it may be a blue dog Democrat in a red state, it'll be a Democrat, and we need Democrats in both the House and the Senate. And also on the lower tier of the ballot, we're across statewide elections and local elections. We need Democrats in there because Republicans, like the idiot woman who wants to be a write-in for Warren County mayor, we need to, like, you know, totally eliminate her from thought, you know, even as a write-in. Because people like them are dangerous. The dominionist right-wing Christian thinking where they try to bring religion into politics. Thomas Jefferson and forefathers say that politics, I'm just paraphrasing here, politics was not the basis of the Constitution. America was not born on a Christian, as a Christian nation. You know, we came here and killed out the Native Americans through violence and through disease and through slavery. And when the people couldn't take it, you know, some of them hanged themselves or killed themselves. Totally wiped out. And then now the seventh president of the United States, Andrew Jackson, the trail of broken tears, murdered a lot of them, you know. So the Native American people are real owners of the United States, but because of colonization and slavery and raping and diseases, they got wiped out for the most part, you know. And when we were expanding westward, you know, we decided to put them here and say, oh yeah, barren land, Oklahoma, stay there, and you stay here, and you stay, you know, scatter them all over, you know, just to, for the sake of expansion, you know. So And the same argument can be brought with the Israeli-Palestine conflict, where Palestine was there first, okay? And then after World War II, the partition in 1948, where Britain gave land to Jewish people from Germany and all over Europe because they didn't have a home, you know? And so they armed them, and it was a divide-and-conquer thing. You know, the British are well known for that. They did it in India, they did it in the Caribbean. Everywhere that they colonized before they left, it was a divide and conquer mentality. You're having it now in Jamaica, where classism, not really racism in Jamaica, but classism. Oh, yeah, you're from this side of town? Yeah, you're poor. Stay where you are. You know, you can't date my daughter. You can't date my son because you're lower than us. You know, and the thing is, you know, we're all people. We need to live. We need to come together, you know, and not kill each other in the name of religion, in the name of politics, in the name of ethnicity. You know, the world would be a stronger, better place if we had more love. And that's what we need now in the world.
Yeah. Yes. You're absolutely right. And, you know, these young people do not tend to, you know, go to these Christian churches or even go to church. There's a lot of them that do not go to church anymore. They just don't. Maybe they did when they were younger, when they were, you know, young, maybe, you know, kindergarten, first, second grade, you know, and after that, a lot of them don't go. And for that reason, you know, they don't have the thinking of like a born-again Christian. You know, I have a sister that's a born-again Christian, and it's really hard to have conversations because they are very black and white, and they bring up the Bible all the time in a conversation because they feel like the Bible is what they have
to
live by.
The end-all and be-all.
Yes. And so you can't ever, so we don't have, you know, most of these young people, especially Gen Z, they don't look like that, you know, they don't. And so, you know, that may be a thing for the future that we don't have to maybe worry about, you know, the born-again Christians and the Christians telling you, you know, that you're a bad person and you're going to go to hell if you don't go to church. I grew up with that. So, you know, and it's guilty. And then the other thing is that our young voters, they want action, you know, on their environment. They want action on climate change. And they know they're not going to get it from Republicans. They know it. So that's another reason why they are going to go out and vote to save their planet so they can have a life. You know, a lot of these that are in office, they're all old men, old white men. They don't care if they live 20 years or not. They just care about the money they're going to have today. And they can leave to their family, but they don't care about the general population that, you know, they won't be able to breathe or drink the water. They don't give a shit about that. So that's the other thing.
By then they'll be dead.
Yeah, they'll be dead, exactly. And they don't care. Once they're dead, they're dead. Exactly. It's like the Koch brothers. Do they care about anybody else? No. They just want their coal and their money and everything else. And then once they die, who cares? They're dead.
Right.
You know, they're living in luxury.
Yeah,
and maybe they'll be dead. So
yeah, David Koch died a couple of years back from cancer. So we'll have Charles Koch left.
So, like I said, so these young voters have a different outlook. They have that, you know, they have the outlook that they want to have a future. They, you know, they want to have their families. They don't care, you know, about if you're black or white or Chinese, like I said before, or Asian. They don't care about any of that. You know, they're.
They just want to know that you're a good person with good values.
Yeah.
And the share the same common values with them. You're not an asshole like Trump.
Yes. You know, they don't believe in that classism stuff where, you know, if you're rich, oh, you can't hang out with me. You know, no. You know, they're open thinkers, open-minded. And you have to be open-minded. Because if you're not open-minded, we're done in this country. Absolutely done.
Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney doesn't rule out presidential bid, and she called Donald Trump the single most dangerous threat. So former Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney said in an interview with that former President Donald Trump is the single most dangerous threat the country faces and did not rule out a 2024 presidential bid. And CNN State of the Union host Jake Tapper said it was likely Trump would be the Republican nominee and asked Cheney what a second Trump term would look like for Americans. Cheney responded that, quote, he cannot be the next president. If he is, all the things he attempted to do, what was stopped from doing by responsible people around him in the State Department of Justice, at the White House Counsel's Office, all of those things he will do, Cheney said. There will be no guardrails, end quote. So Cheney, one of the most vocal critics of Donald Trump, she was a vice chair of the now dissolved House Select Committee investigating the Capitol Hill attacks on January 6, 2021. She said that Trump is the single most dangerous threat we face, and when asked whether she would join the rather crowded field of 2024 candidates, Cheney said she will definitely spend the year until the 2024 election helping elect candidates who believe in the Constitution and who take their responsibilities seriously to Congress. But you're not ruling out a presidential run, Tapper said. No, I'm not, Cheney said. Cheney has said that she wouldn't run for president if she thought it would help Trump return to the White House, such as launching an independent bid that would ultimately pull votes from Joe Biden. So if she do run, she'll pull votes from Joe Biden. I don't see how that's possible. Well, I guess because they're so the Republican Party is morphed into such right-wing fringe that support Trumpism that nobody would support Liz Cheney. So it makes sense that, you know, if she ran as an independent, it would pull votes from our guy, Joe Biden. Robert Kennedy Jr. has declared that he's running as an independent. Already has raised $6 million. And where do you get this money from? Special interest groups that are right wing. So you have to like Stuart Kennedy. I think he's lost a couple of screws. You know, he's like a few fresh short of a Happy Meal because he is from a Democratic family. But what he believes is so whack and out there. Like, you know, if Trump said in one of his Nazi-like rallies that, hey, if he becomes president again, he'll make Robert Kennedy Jr. the director of the CDC.
which he has no experience in. RFK Jr. is well known about his environmental causes. He was an environmental lawyer. He was great at it. So what an environmentalist would doing in the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and he's so anti-vax, you know? Everything just got to shit. Like how when Betsy DeVos was education secretary, things went shit. They want to close the Department of Education. They want to fuck up the CDC. You know, we can't allow Donald Trump to set one foot back in the White House. He's too close now.
No.
And as Kristi Noem, the governor of New Hampshire Republican, said, there's no way Donald Trump will become a nominee. And I hope and pray that there's some backroom deals to keep an asshole like Donald Trump out from getting a Republican nomination. Because, you know, he's just a bastard. You know, what he did in there... You know, he turned everything upside down. In East Palestine in Ohio, where there was no regulations, the first thing he did when he was president, remove all Barack Obama's, you know, regulations. And see, crash after crash, where you have chemicals spilling, you know, messing up the environment, messing up the drinking water, messing up everything, you know. And who going to pay for that? Taxpayers. Who going to go to jail? Mm-hmm. None of the big wigs, but the low small fish, you know? And then after the Palestine train wreck, where, you know, things blow up and the water was contaminated and the air pollution was, you know, like, gone to shit, these people actually came to people's homes and said, hey, sign this piece of paper and ask them what it is. Oh, you know, just to protect you for the future and tell them some lie. And some people, again, this is where critical thinking come in. You know, you have to think and say, hey, if I sign this paper, am I signing with rights? And then some people say, no, because if I sign that piece of paper, I can't sue in the future if me and my family get some cancer or some disease that can't be cured. You know, we need some financial settlement. You know, I can't take it to court because I signed this document. Critical thinking is needed, and that's why the Department of Education is necessary. We need government regulations across the board. We need to regulate people like Wall Street, companies on Wall Street. We need to regulate the train industry that carry chemicals across country. You know, Republicans are against regulations, they're against unions, they're against, you know, the middle class and the working poor. You know, we need people like Elizabeth Warren, like the Congresswoman from California, Katie Porter, running for the U.S. Senate. We need her in the United States Senate because she look out for people, you know. She answers the people who elected her. You know, we don't need people like Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul and whomever else. You can name them.
Oh.
You know, imagine spending 6 years in an institution like Jim Jordan has and hasn't, you know, put through one piece of legislation, much less co-sponsor legislation. 16 years.
No,
what has he been doing?
He's passed a bill. He's not passed a bill.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
What has he done?
You know?
Has he done
not
all this time besides collect a paycheck and a good pension? Seriously. And they keep voting him back in. Why? What is wrong
with
people?
But he has voted against anything that's decent.
That's what I'm saying. Why? Yeah. How did he get voted back in? It's
gerrymander. He lives in a gerrymander district, heavily gerrymandered. That's how he gets elected time after time. If you see how his district is drawn, then you see how heavily gerrymandered Jim Jordan's district is. You know, hardly any black people are minorities, just white people. And it's shit out of, you know. So that's how Republicans win, by cheating, gerrymandering, lying to the people. And again, critical thinking is needed, you know.
Of course.
But hey, what do I know?
I know. I agree. I mean, you have to, like you said, critical thinking is needed. So you have to, you can't just listen to Fox News or, you know, right-wing propaganda and not listen to anything else and think that that's true. You have to look left, look right, look up, look down, try to read, try to ask questions, wonder why sometimes. Sometimes we have to mm-hmm. wonder why. And then we find the answers, mm-hmm. you know. And this Project 2025, they would get rid of, you know, all the things that you had just mentioned, David. Just you mm-hmm. mentioned all the things that you mentioned, they would be gone, you know.
Yeah.
Because they don't want that. They don't want union, mm-hmm. you know, at mm-hmm. all. They want people to be,
yeah.
you know, go to work. You get what you get paid. And if you don't like that, you're at will. You're fired. They don't care. That's exactly what they want. They want corporations to be able to do what they want to do. No regulations. So there would be no regulations on food safety.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. Forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There would be
well, you know what's frightening? That USA Today did a poll recently, and among independents, RFK drew in a poll of 23% of independent voters. And when
mm-hmm.
you have a matchup with Joe Biden and Donald Trump with Kennedy, Biden 38, Trump 37, Kennedy 14. So he may act as a spoiler. He'll
yes.
draw votes from both Biden and Trump if Trump is a nominee, yep. well, assumptive nominee, you know, and the number of self-identified independents nationwide has grown over the past 20 years from 31% to 49%, according to Gallup poll, compared to Democrats
mm-hmm.
and Republicans, 25% each. So hypothetically, if independents rallied around Kennedy, they could vault him into the
mm-hmm.
top tier of contention for the White House. And we know from multiple polls this year that two-thirds of all voters do not want Biden-Trump rematch in 2024. So what will happen?
No.
Is it possible that Kennedy, an independent, a kook, a freak show, a maniac who's anti-vax could be president because he acts as a spoiler? Because those numbers
mm-hmm.
are high for an independent. The last independent
yeah.
who came close was Theodore Roosevelt, you know, where
mm-hmm.
he split the Republican ticket and came in third, but he got something like two or three Electoral College votes. I think Rutherford B. Hayes, if I remember correctly. I have to research that again, but, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and Ross Perot in 1996 split the George
yeah.
Bush vote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So independence,
yeah.
depending on how much money you have, and name recognition is a key thing to it. So Canada name, boom. Okay, yeah, he's a candidate. You don't know what he's about. You don't know his policies. You don't know his experience, but because the last name is Kennedy or maybe a Bush
yeah.
or this or that. So, oh, yeah, let's go with a name. There's no critical thinking. This is like the millionth time of saying this on the show. We need critical
yeah,
thinking in this country where, you know,
mm-hmm.
we'll have people who are experienced, who are, you know, that come from, you know, teachers, doctors,
mm-hmm.
Different spheres of life, different experiences
mm-hmm.
growing up as a kid. You know, we don't need any more lawyers and doctors in the House of Representatives or,
no.
or U.S. Senate. You know, we need
no.
a variety. We need more women in these positions of power
yeah.
as well, because women make
yeah.
up 51% of America, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to beat down a patriarchal society, we need more women, women of color, Asian women, Jewish women, you know, white women, all types of women, gay women, you know, bisexual women, whoever, you know, religious women, not religious women, Muslims, you know, different types
mm-hmm.
of religions. Because this is what America is built up of today. And by 2020,
yeah.
by 2045, we'll be so multicultural that, you know, the right-wing lunatics in the Republican Party know, who try to wreak up havoc, they're not going to know what we hit them. You
no.
know, this is who America is, and this is who America is going to be. So, you know, hopefully, collectively, their heads will explode when this happens.
Yeah, like, you
yeah.
know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is just a non-starter. You know, he should just drop out because doesn't he realize what's going on in the country? What does he think that he can do? I mean, honestly and truly.
The ego, You have to
yeah.
have an ego to run for president, and his ego is out
yeah.
of control.
Right, because he doesn't have the experience like Joe Biden. What would he do in the case of Israel and Ukraine, if you don't have the experience like Joe Biden has, he knows these leaders. He's met with them. He's talked with them for years upon years. So how can you just be a newbie with a Kennedy name and think that you can just, you know, take the reins of something that's so complicated, and you can't pretend that you know how to take care of it because you don't. If you don't have the experience and the wisdom to do it, then you can't do it. And he doesn't have either. And either does the schmuck, the orange man. He doesn't either.
Mm-hmm.
We would be in World War III within 2 weeks with him. So
it's just
a matter of survival. And if Robert F. Kennedy really, Jr., really loved this country, if he really loves this country, he should just bow out any of them that are running in third.
He's not going to do that.
I know
he's not going to do that.
But the way I feel. I'm just saying the way I feel. If you really love this country and where we are, where we sit right now in a dangerous spot, not only because of what's happening around the world, but also what's happening inside of our country, inside of our government. We need somebody with experience and knowledge, someone that knows people, can get around people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that Joe Biden is 80 years old, but dear God, he's running circles around, he's just running circles around people. He's got me very surprised as, you know, he's been phone. He has been on just 24/7 mode since this has all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
yeah, this is
where
this is how our president. This is how our president should, you know, do his job and act. He doesn't have time to play golf.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time to call people names on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. He rolls up his sleeve, did a job without complaining. Have him ice cream when he wants. Compared to Trump, you know, who is on social media 24/7 talking bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I hope the American people notice the level of commitment Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have and love of this country and the job that he put in the first 2 years. You know, he has accomplished things in 2 years that most presidents, even if they have an eight-year term, has not accomplished. The biggest presidential success since FDR, you know, is Joe Biden.
Yes.
So,
absolutely,
you know, Republicans, you're in trouble.
Yes, and he hasn't, you know, he has not received the accolades. He's not received. He's just like you said, David. He just puts his head down. He rolls up his sleeves and he doesn't work. And he does this work. He doesn't ask for, you know, a pat on the back or you're doing a great, he has not, he's just a humble man, you know. Today he was speaking and someone came along, someone from the office came in and said, you know, you're wanted in the situation room. So he said, I'm sorry. And thank you all for being here. Thank you. But I have to go. I mean, he's polite, he's kind. Sure, he gets snippy. Shit, I would have been snippy a million times ago. The dumb things that they ask him, you know, and they call him Sleepy Joe. That's a bunch of bullshit. He is not. He is not.
Yeah. And they're giving Trump a free run again like they did in 2016, giving him all the airtime, especially Fox News. MSNBC cut the crap out by not showing his Nazi-type rallies.
Yes. Nope.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
C-SPAN don't do that anymore. You know, they'll just show clips and highlights here and there. But Donald Trump is a menace to the world, not only America, but to the world. You know, he's tickling Putin's balls and, like, literally kissing Putin's ass because Putin has secrets on him, and God knows how many secrets on congressmen and U.S. senators. Imagine a couple years ago, I think it was 2017, 2018, Independence Day in America. And do you believe certain senators and certain congresspeople went on the 4th of July over to Russia to pay homage to Vladimir Putin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so disgraceful and disgusting, you know?
It's disgusting. It is.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so the last thing, we have 15 minutes left. If you want to call in, don't be shy, we don't bite hard unless you're a right-wing lunatic that support Donald Trump, 515-605-9802, the number to call. And you can also visit kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have great articles, more articles coming, and some guest writers will be coming as well. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. And a big shout-out to the Liverpool Football Club in Albuquerque, the 505 Reds. The craft room is where the meat and everything. Good bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people in Albuquerque or anywhere in New Mexico, if you're hearing this, you know, just check the Liverpool Football Club's schedule, and you'll see when Liverpool playing, and usually Saturday or Sunday. You could call into the craft room. That's where the Liverpool 505 Reds meet. It's the official Liverpool Football Club supporters club. That's in New Mexico. So, you know, come on by the craft room, you know, they have good craft beer and what have you. You love it there, trust me. And every once a month or every twice a month, they have karaoke night where you can go up there, sing. You can do stand-up comedy. You can have a band that come in and play. So, you know, for all the good fun and everything, when you want to relax and kick back, the craft room is a place. Yes. Okay, so the last thing on the discussion note. Trump discussed nuclear submarines with Australian billionaire Anthony Pratt, three sources say. And this is from CBS News. Donald Trump allegedly discussed sensitive information pertaining to American nuclear submarines with an Australian billionaire at his Mar-a-Lago bullshit resort. Well, no, inserting bullshit there. According to three people familiar with the matter, the individual, Anthony Pratt, has been identified as a potential witness in Special Counsel Jack Smith's case against a former president. Sources with knowledge of the situation confirmed to CBS News. So, good. You know, we'll have the evidence. We get this Jack Pratt in, or whatever his name is, this Australian billionaire, Anthony Pratt, that's his name, to come in and testify and sink Donald Trump even more. Because, you know, he's in shit up his eyeballs in Letitia James with Fani Willis in Georgia and the Jack Smith and his other cases. You know, so he's in a whole world of trouble. There's no way he can escape this. The only way he can escape this is if he wins the presidency, he can pardon himself. That would be a first in presidential history. But on a state level, the charges, he can't pardon himself, and the governor of the state, if it's a red state, cannot pardon him. So it'd be like, you know, deja vu all over again, where, you know, it would cause a constitutional crisis with this idiot in the White House and, you know, whoever his vice president is. Carrie Lake is in a running. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that moron from District 14 in Georgia, is in a running. He's vice presidential running mate. Probably Nikki Haley. Who knows? You know, but Trump is the worst of the lot. And when you look at all the candidates in the Republican field, the only person with any dignity or self-respect is Chris Christie. From the get-go, he's been blasting Trump on his bullshit. And I'm not a big fan of Chris Christie, but you have to give it to up to the man for, like, blasting and put him in, you know, put him in the place about how stupid he is, you know?
Well, you have to give credit as due, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Christie is not a good person, don't get me wrong. He's a diehard conservative, dyna-wool conservative. You know, they're all dangerous, these conservatives. But at least I have to give him credit. And Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, who not let jump in a race, he's staying out. You know, because these are establishment Republicans who, you know, believe in the Constitution, believe in the rule of law, you know, and are doing the best to try to save the Republican Party. And if the delegates in the Republican Party have any common sense, they'll vote for a candidate like Chris Christie or Chris Sununu or any moderate you can think of, which is far and few between, you know, to save their party, because America needs, you know, I'd argue that we need more than two parties, but if we turn a one-party state, that's where Democrats will get lackadaisical kind of lazy and careless and what have you and arrogant. You know, we need
a functional opposition to keep Democrats on their toes. And, like, mm-hmm. when a Republican is in there, vice versa play, you get what I'm saying? It would be great if a third party and a fourth party come to challenge the status quo, but the way the system is set up, it don't feed into that, you know? We need to get rid of the Electoral College. God, that's a joke. That was built on racism and sexism where women couldn't vote. You know, so much things need to be done. We need to get money out of politics. We spoke about it last night. And every time on the show, Elaine and Susie and Madeline call and say, hey, you know, this is why it's not working, the Electoral College and, you know, the Supreme Court and, you know, all different things, all different problems we have, we can solve them if we just come together and meet somewhere in the middle. But Republicans on every turn saying no, even things that we're for, there's like, no. Why? Because the Democrats is in there, because the Democrats control the U.S. Senate. So they're not going to move on anything in the House. They're just moving on abortion, tax cuts for the wealthy, you know, private school, you know, different things that don't cater to the middle class and the working families of America. So we need to get critical thinking back. We need to fight for this democracy, because if we don't fight, we'll lose it. They want to have a dictator. And God forbid that idiot, that orange rat bastard, turn president again, then we'll be heading in the direction of North Korea. And that's sad. Yep. That's pathetic.
Yes.
We're not well allowed to happen. Really, and that's my last word. Time to wrap up.
Absolutely. It is time to wrap up. Yes, it is. And you're absolutely you're absolutely right, because we need, and let's start talking to young people, and maybe these schools need, well, they can't do it in schools, but maybe we need to somehow, you know, get these young people to understand that they need to register to vote. And I think they already know, but a reminder would be good. So that's what we need. We need to blast them. We need to win by, we need to smash them so bad that they're never going to get up. Let's put it that way. You know, just in numbers that they cannot say that, they can't argue and say that, you know, the election was rigged, because they won, because we won by millions of votes, millions upon millions. That's what we have.
And thank you especially to special thanks to Taylor Swift for what she's doing and everything. The Eras tour is going on, and it's going to be in cinemas. I don't know if it's that yet and everything, but people listening out there, go support her. Taylor Swift is one of the genius musicians of our time, of her generation, of any generation. She's a humble human being. She's talented. She sings, she dances, she writes music, she plays the guitar. She's a wonderful human being. She's for women's rights. She's for gay rights. She's for immigration rights. You know, she's one of the good people out there trying to save our democracy. You know, it's not both Democrat versus Republican. You know, we don't want to escalate in America where, you know, we'll have another civil war, because this, these right-wing lunatic, old dominionist, Christian fundamentalist weirdos don't get their own way, and the only way to think is a Second Amendment, a remedy. You know, this is not what America is about. America is about freedom of expression, freedom of choice, where a woman have a right to choose. We fought for this for 50-odd years. And for the Supreme Court to take it back, that's a slap in the face to every woman who ever fought in the past. You know, we need immigration reform. We haven't had any in 40 years. We need gun control. You know, for the first time in 30 years, Joe Biden and Democrats in the Senate worked on something, and we had some Republican support. But the NRA have a grip on the Republican Party that need to break, because America deserves better. Our school children dying, you know, needlessly because of gun violence, where people come in there, shoot the place up, don't give regards to life and everything. And that needs to stop. It just needs to goddamn stop. You know, enough is enough. But that's my last word. Elaine, any closing words? Give your final, the final say tonight before we go.
My final say is the Sterling Heights, Michigan, 6,000 workers walked out this morning. The company is not going to the table. They are not bargaining in good faith. And I think that if the people out there, if you don't personally know a striker, you can go to Facebook and you can go to UAW International and leave a word of encouragement. But they were there. I think it was 6,000 plus walked out this morning, and that's down the street from me. And I drove by real slow today, beat my horn, and gave them the the thumbs up. So,
yeah,
that's all I could do right now. But later on, if they're still on strike, if it's warm outside, I'm going to drop some water off to them. If it's cold outside, I'm going to drop some coffee off to them.
What I think they're trying to do, Elaine, is they're trying to hold out the big three's trying to hold out so that they're some of them had to take out loans to pay their bills. That's what they're trying to do to them. So they're trying to make them feel the pain of not getting their paychecks, so they'll be grateful and go back to work. You follow what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what they're doing. My husband was on strike with the newspapers, and we went through the horrendous 3 years of it.
I hope
the Sterling Heights police keep their nose out of it. They haven't got any business putting their nose in it.
They did
in the newspaper strike. They don't have any business doing it. They're a union. Respect your union, brother and sister.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I hope, like I said, because it's going to get cold pretty soon, and if you're in the area where they're striking, drop off a few cups of coffee and some donuts maybe, and, cheer them on a little bit, because it's going to be a long strike. The big three does not care.
Yeah.
They have billions of dollars. They don't care.
All right. We've got to go. We're running out of time. Thank you, Elaine, for calling in. We'll thank everybody for listening and getting through to us on Facebook. The website is expanding. It's kitchenpolitics123.com. Merchandise will be on sale soon. We're going to have some guest bloggers when I write some more articles. And more importantly, we're going to have some recipes we put up there. So you can, if you cook from home and experiment and do cooking, you can try some more recipes and everything. So until next time, which is Thursday, same time, same place, we're on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, October 23rd, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. We'll see you on Sunday. Everyone take care and peace to the world. Bye now.
Thursday.
Bye. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.